for, yeah, we've kind of lost control. Okay, thank you very much for coming in. It's a little bit after lunch here, so people are a little strung out on cookies or something. Thank you very much for your interest in this position. I think you know kind of how this will work. We'll turn it back to you for your opening comments,
great,
5 minutes or so on your interest in the Board of Regents. And then we will go around the table and ask questions of you, and then we'll turn it back to you for closing comments, hopefully all within 45 minutes.
Wonderful.
So, Ms. Kettering, you've got the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the Council for inviting me here today. It is a privilege and an honor to be in front of you. As you are all public servants in this space, I want to thank you. It is not an easy job, and I know you've been spending the last couple of days, so thank you. My name is Sarah Kettering. I am a master's student at the University of Minnesota, and I want to tell you a little bit about myself prior to that. I am born and raised in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I tell people I can't escape the 612 area code, even though I might try. And I am a proud graduate of Minneapolis Public Schools, where I received my international baccalaureate degree from Southwest High School, and I'm a proud alum. From there, I went on to receive my undergraduate degree from the University of Minnesota and spent 4 years on campus, four wonderful years on campus from 2006 to 2010, where I earned my bachelor's in global studies with a focus in social justice. From there, I was able to explore campus as a bright-eyed student who had the world in front of her, while at the same time learning how to be a responsible citizen and a contributing member of society. It was a fantastic experience, and I'm really privileged and honored to have that under my belt. After 2010, I went on into work into the nonprofit field, where I spent nearly 4 years at Twin Cities Habitat for Humanity, assisting executive level leadership as well as the board of directors. And then from there, went on to Greater Twin Cities United Way, where I then helped manage the 51-member board of directors. And so have a lot of experience with governance and really appreciate all that goes into that type of governance work and fiduciary and service as well. A little more personal, back in 2009, my father was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's disease, and I made a commitment at that point to be very involved in his care, very involved in my family's well-being, and learned a lot along the way, including how to navigate the University of Minnesota healthcare system, which was stellar and bar none to others in terms of the care that my family and I received, and that was quite special. Now, I fast forward to 2018, I started my master's degree at the University of Minnesota in the School of Public Health, where I have a focus in community health promotion in an area of aging and geriatrics, which, as many of you know, we are coming up to a large shift in our demographics, and I want to make sure, with my father's experience in caregiving, that all families and all people can age with dignity and grace and joy. And I have been challenged as I've started out at the university this past year, and after 8 years of not being a student, learning how to be a student electronically, really, it's all online, and it's been wonderful. It's been a wonderful experience. This opportunity arose, and I think it is the next step in the way that I can serve both my community as well as the university community, and ultimately the state of Minnesota. It would be quite an honor and a privilege, because my entire career has been committed to service, and I think this is the next step in the way that I can give back. As I stated, my undergraduate degree and now my graduate degree, I have a lot to thank the university for in terms of what I've been given, and I want to give back. I'd like to be able to help other students and families navigate those systems, as well as be a cheerleader for the entire university system and all that they give back to the state, great state of Minnesota. Why do I want to do this? It's a six-year term. It is unpaid volunteerism. And it truly would be something that I would feel good about doing, and waking up every day and knowing that I was able to represent other students, their families, and certainly the bright future that we have in front of us. I have a strong sense of understanding that my purpose, both personally and professionally, is guided by something bigger than myself. To serve as a University of Minnesota Regent would be the next opportunity in my life to prioritize something much bigger and much greater than me, our shared regional belief in the future's education and promise. To lead with the legacy of those that have come before me, many, many of those who have come before me, to stand on their shoulders and help current and future generations of big thinkers, creative problem solvers, and curious students would be an honor and a great privilege. With that, I think that kind of sums up why I want to be here, and I look forward to taking all of your questions and hope to answer them to my best of my ability.
Thank you very much. I will start with the first one, and it has to do with the University of Minnesota's land-grant mission. Mm-hmm. The University of Minnesota is obviously our state's land-grant university. Yes. What does that mean to you, and what do you think it should mean to the people of Minnesota?
Yes. Knowing that it is a land-grant institution, that is rooted in a civic responsibility to make sure that the university is giving both the research, the teaching and learning, as well as the outreach and public service, because we are granted not only fiscal money from the state of Minnesota, but also just general support in making things happen. So being a land-grant institution, I think it is critical that the university recognize that and gives back to the state, in knowing that the university system doesn't succeed unless the state succeeds, and vice versa. And the university is a real economic engine for our state, and so I think there is a partnership that is undeniable to making sure that we're really living up to that true commitment.
Okay, thank you. Council members, who'd like to go second? Council member Carlson.
Your application, you marked public, and you said good governance is monotonous and delightfully routine. Until it's not. I stood up and cheered when I saw that, but my questions are twofold. Have you attended the Board of Regents meetings? Have you listened to them online? What are your observations of the board, and what would you bring that none of the 20-some finalists that we're talking to would bring to that mix of 12?
Great question. Thank you. I think, so I have not sat in on a meeting in person. However, I've reviewed the last year's worth of minutes that are posted publicly. And really understanding, both with my previous experience at Habitat as well as Greater Twin Cities United Way, the role of governance is to make sure that we are aligned along the strategic vision of this institution. And why I said it was monotonous and delightfully routine until it's not is that, unless those markers and checks and balances are really kept and people are meeting expectations, that's when things can fall through the cracks. And so I think it is critical that communication is happening, and those meetings of the Board of Regents, I think, is where that happens. And so what I can bring outside of the six other student positions and then other candidates as well at large would be a thoughtful belief on governance and my role and duty to not only hold those accountable, but then also to cheerlead when cheerleading is necessary and communicate that back to the masses. So I would like to be both someone with a critical eye, but then also someone who is encouraging the mission and bringing joy to this work, because without joy, then what's the purpose of it, in my opinion? So I think I would bring a good balance, but then first and foremost, I would, on day one, want to learn. I would want to learn from those who have come before me and then those who are currently on the Regents, and making sure that I'm not looking to change anything. I'm looking to really progress and move forward what those have come before me.
Councilmember Miltmore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Candidate Kettering. One of the things that I noticed, you maybe bring a unique perspective as a candidate for the student position, and one of the things I noticed that was on your one of the references, it referred to your 8 years that have elapsed since you obtained your BA. What wisdom or talent or skills did those 8 years afford you that would enlighten your experience level, or that allow you to bring you to this position?
Absolutely. It's a great question, and I think it's something that I feel really lucky to have. All the way back to selling durable medical equipment by a small company, private-owned company, right out of college, I wouldn't trade those experiences for anything, because those 8 years taught me both what I really love to do and what I really don't want to do, and yet understanding what goes into a day's worth of hard work, knowing that it's a privilege to be able to do something that I love and wake up every day. I think something that it would provide me in those 8 years in particular is really understanding the state of current affairs in our region. children. Learning from families through the Twin Cities Habitat for Humanity program, folks give up a lot to make sure that they can prosper and succeed and so that their children can prosper and succeed. And then I think at Greater Twin Cities United Way, learning the social service sector and understanding how many of our colleagues and our residents and our neighbors are in need, and that the university can play a really vital role in making sure that we are moving forward where all people are getting what they need. And education is at the root of all of that. So I think having that broader understanding and perspective of a more global understanding of reality takes me a next step in the classroom to ask different questions, to be able to think about things in a different way, to question when it is appropriate to question, and also to mentor others. And that's how I would see this role, is certainly that it would be a wonderful opportunity to lead and bring other colleagues along with me.
Councilmember Moore.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Candidate Kettering, for being with us and for your thoughtfulness. Can you just hearken on some of the most influential mentors in your life, and what values, attributes have they afforded you that you would look to bring to this position if nominated?
Thank you. It's a great question and something that I think very with a humble heart, because I realize how lucky I've been to been graced by other people's expertise. First and foremost, my father. He left a very big imprint on me, both through his professional life as an attorney and practicing attorney, and then certainly a public servant in all aspects of giving back and knowing that the ladder was extended down to him and he wanted to extend that down to others. But then through his 8 years of dealing with Alzheimer's and walking that journey with him with dignity. And knowing that life will throw you curveballs and you're not expecting those often. So he was my first mentor, and really understanding that why I'm here is something greater, and there's a purpose, and I want to live up to that legacy that he taught me. The second person that I would like to say is who was the former president CEO, Sue Hegg, of Twin Cities Habitat for Humanity. She taught me what a thoughtful and gracious and kind servant looks like, and not for herself, but for others. And I think I really tap into that when I saw her navigating both the political world, but then also Twin Cities Habitat world and the nonprofit world of, having to make really tough decisions. It's not all roses, and it really requires grit, and it requires sustainability, but it also requires a kind heart. And if you're not leading with that, then your integrity is all you've got.
Thank you. Councilmember Menon.
Thank you for being here today, Ms. Kettering. My question relates to crisis management. The University of Minnesota has faced a number of crises in the last few years. So obviously, as a member of the Board of Regents, you would be privy to the handling of those responses. What do you think are the core aspects of crisis management, and how do you think that differs for you as the student representative on the Board of Regents, hypothetically?
It's a great question, and speaks to the points of good governance is monotonous until it's not. I think crisis management is critical because no one wants a crisis. I think we all can agree on that, but it's how you handle that crisis and during those times of challenge. I think something that I learned quickly was at Greater Twin Cities United Way, we faced a very sizable shortfall and had to cut major funding from community organizations across the Twin Cities metro region. That really hurt people. It affected people's lives. And I think from that moment on, I realized that it wasn't about policies. It wasn't about word blurbs. It was about actual real life people that were impacted. And so I think to have the humanity that you go back to the problem and you realize that a crisis is created that affects people is really integral. And to keep that level of humility and graciousness is really critical, because those times are you can flare up with anger and frustration, and tensions are very high. So I learned through that process about how to do that. How do you, and that takes practice. I think certainly at the University of Minnesota, there have been challenges, some challenges that have been really disappointing for me as a student and as an alum member, but also understanding that we all make mistakes. We are all going to face problems and challenges, and it's up to us to how to figure out how do we solve it. So I think from a student perspective, what I could bring is knowing that my name is my reputation, and integrity is very important to me. And so to share that with my student colleagues and be the channel of communication back to students, but then also from students to the regents, would be really important. But then also to follow and lead with a really historical high caliber that the regents has led with in the past would be really critical to me, and to follow those who might be more experienced, and taking notes in that is a learning experience for me as well. And I don't pretend to be perfect, but I will sure try every day to make sure that I'm living up to my name's reputation.
Thank you.
Council member Hipsch.
Thank you. When Margaret asked the question with regards to governance, I thought I heard you mention the six other students that are involved with it. Can you tell me more about what you're referring to there?
When I looked at the applicants, that was public knowledge, noticing that there were six other students that were on the docket for
candidates. I didn't know if you were referencing the student representatives.
No,
to the
not the board. Other. Yes, okay. But I am aware of that other aspect.
Have you had a chance to connect with any other kind of on-campus student government groups and kind of understand their relationships with the Board of Regents?
Yes, I haven't currently in terms of 2018 and 2019 timing. That would be something that if I were advanced into the next round, certainly would like to spend time doing and communicating and introducing myself, regardless of whether or not I was a Board of Regents. It would be important to me. But I did get a chance to talk to a 2009 graduate of the School of Public Health, who did serve on one of the committees of the Board of Regents and served in that graduate student representative position, and talked a little bit about the role of those student bodies and making sure that is it's not necessary to recreate the wheel. These bodies and these governing bodies of students already exist, and so to make sure that I am tapping into those resources and tapping into those bodies already would be really critical. And I think too that there is so much talent on the university campus at large across the state, and so it would be really important to me to make sure that I am creating real authentic relationships, and to build trust, and to make sure that lines of communication are open, because that's the way that you get things done, in my opinion. So I think there would be great opportunity to explore those even further, and outside of just the graduate studies and certainly into the undergraduate livelihood.
Thank you. Councilmember Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Kettering. I guess I just have to make a comment first. You know, please. You might have already done one of the most important things that you'll ever do. That take care of a family member with dementia. Not my question.
Thank you.
The health sciences are a major part of the university budget. Mm-hmm. And the question has to do with professional schools, and specifically the medical school. Medical school provides 80% of the practicing physicians of this state, of which I'm one of the graduates. The rankings or ratings of our medical school over the last couple decades has decreased. Mm-hmm. And a couple decades ago, it was consistently in a top 10 in the country. Now we're in 30-something, depending what you read. What are your ideas or opinions on how you go about improving the standing of a professional school at the university?
It's a great question, first, thank you for your comment. I agree, it is one of the most important things I've done, but I'm in it for more. But to your point of professional schools, it has been a very different experience for me as being an undergraduate and experiencing the university in a very broad way and having the ability to learn and tap into various different bodies of interest. And then the professional setting, folks know what they want to do. They know why they're there. They know kind of what they want to accomplish, but they don't necessarily know how to do that, and that's where the university comes in to help nurture and foster that professionalism. I think when you reference the medical school, I just just accepted a position, a research graduate assistant position that is housed within the Department of Pediatrics in the medical school. And it's opportunities like that, that we are doing groundbreaking research that can help lives of many other people, both at large in terms of big bodies of populations and demographics, but also at the very most personal level, whether that be my father who received the care or many others. So I think connecting that research and that learning and advocating why we're doing that work and how does it affect people and how does it matter. So telling that story is really important to me. With regards to the decreasing in terms of ranking and understanding that there is competition all over the nation and all over the globe, and we are among those competitors. So we also have to fight for those positions, and we have to make sure that we are cheerleading and representing that the university is a first-rate institution that really graduates some of the best and the brightest. So I think it would be a humble balance of knowing that what we do is really important work, but then also making sure that we're telling others about that work and making sure that we're convincing them and really sharing the power of that. And I think it's been nothing but a privilege to be on the health campuses most recently and seeing the development and just the change just since my undergraduate. And it's really impressive to know that the university has thoughtfully and strategically invested in those resources, and we're reaping the benefits, even if they might not be rankings. But we certainly have a good story to tell, and I would love to help tell that story.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Moore.
Thank you, Chairman. As you know, we've got a new president elect, and my question to you is, if you were president and you knew you could achieve any objective, what initiative would you undertake and why?
That is a great question. First, I am really excited about President Gabel. I think it would be an honor and a privilege to work with her, and knowing her commitment to service learning only excites me more, and knowing that the university has such a ripe area for not only continued investment in that, but also growth. So I think service learning and knowing that the university is connected to community, both on a local level, but then also on a state level. But the initiative that I care deeply about, and I think it's been something that has really been quite hard for the university over the last 5 years in particular publicly, but then maybe even longer, is sexual misconduct. And so I really have appreciated and thought highly of President Kaler's lasting legacy around the president's initiative to end sexual misconduct. And knowing that that work is not only critical to the student body, but it's also critical as we are a leader in showing others what that could look like and what that fearless leadership could look like in the face of a really challenging problem. So I think around making sure that our community, campus community, both small and throughout the state, is safe for all those who want to attend the university would be a real priority. And I also think that would It would be a lasting imprint on the state and then both on a national discourse conversation that is current, and as much as we may try to get away from it, it's rearing its ugly head, and so it's best to address it face on, and I would be really honored to help serve on that team.
Councilmember Carlson.
Two members of the Board of Regents met with the football team after the alleged sexual assault. You were sitting on the Regents at that time. What would you have done privately, and what would you have done sitting in the Regents meeting? That's the question.
Thank you. It's something that I take very seriously in terms of the discrepancy between a Board of Regent and then administrative duties. And so I feel as a Board of Regent, it would be my duty and my responsibility to work through the administration and to really support the president and their staff in navigating those spaces. Privately, I would want to do my homework. I would want to have conversations that are sensitive, given the subject matter, but to learn and be equipped myself with my own perspective on the situation and educating myself would be critical. Publicly, I think it is important that it is a unified front and that the Board of Regents together is working as a team, and especially with something as sensitive and as troubling as sexual misconduct conduct allegations. It would be really critical to me to feel as though that I was part of something bigger and that I wasn't just stepping out on my own in a public way, because I don't think that does the university any good, and I don't think that serves the Board of Regents either.
Additional questions? Council member Otto.
Thank you.
Okay. Sir.
This is his first question.
I know.
All right.
Let's give him a round of applause. She's been.
I actually have kind of two questions, if you don't mind. It may be the case that someone looking at your resume may perceive you as being somewhat perhaps disconnected from the student body, if for no other reason than your timeline. Mm-hmm. Question one, is it something you might consider as representing the fifth or an at-large seat, or is your preference the students?
Great question. Thank you, and thoughtful. It is important to me to do something that I believe in and commit to on a philosophical level. And I think when the opportunity arose and when I heard of this position opening for students, it was the right place at the right time. And I think there's something really powerful about having my undergraduate experience as a student and understanding what I didn't learn then and what I might know now afterwards, and then being a current graduate student, that I think I could offer a very unique lens. And I would be committed to really connecting to the student body, and it would serve as an impetus to do so for me. Not that I don't have that desire outside, but if I was serving in this role that is a Board of Regent role in full capacity, but that is held for a student, that to me would be a real duty of responsibility. And I think that is what is appealing to me. However, I love my 5th Congressional District and the ability to serve. And if that is what the council might be looking into and figuring out where do you get the best representatives from across the state, that would be another opportunity to serve, and I certainly wouldn't disagree with that.
Thank you.
Councilmember Rogers.
Thank you. A question that I found all students are interested in, that being tuition levels. If the Board of Regents, who has to balance a budget of like $4 billion, has to find ways to pay for that, how do they do it other than to continually increase the tuition of students?
It's a great question and very thoughtful, and I appreciate that this council is very concerned with this matter, because it is about accessibility for students. As student debt continues to rise, it's a problem that it will impact generations to come, not just now, but those who have experienced and incurred debt, but also those who are coming back up in front of us. I think other ways and other opportunities that excite me, and certainly through my nonprofit experience, is the role that private citizens can play in supporting beliefs and institutions and investments that they fundamentally and strongly believe in. And so I think there are other ways that we can look at revenue streams. I think obviously the funding from the state is crucial and critical and a huge part of the university budget. Various different other revenue streams, and I would want to explore what all of those look like. But I think it's important to diversify those revenue streams. And certainly going through my last 3 years at Greater Twin Cities United Way, understanding when those revenue streams stop, it impacts real people, and those people would be students in this case. So I think to get creative, I think to understand that this university is a treasure and a state treasure, and so how do we honor that and how do we invest in that in a unique way is possible. And I would love to be a part of a team to try and figure that out.
Thank you.
Councilmember Menon.
Thank you. This is going to be the third question, I think, touching on this issue, but I just want to, because there is a certain, I'd say, disconnect between a lot of the students at the University of Minnesota and the things that you've pursued through the 8-year gap, mm-hmm. also through, not really being involved in student government, I just want to ask more specifically, how would you plan to engage students more if you are put into this role?
Yes. It's something I take very seriously, and I think something that I've learned in my undergraduate experience was I don't think I understood the full capacity of who the student population was. Sure, I had my niches, and I figured out where I felt like my community was, but it was a huge institution to navigate, let alone just in the Twin Cities and then across the state. In my graduate degree, I have connected with students who don't fit the mold of what a typical student in kind of our eyes or what previously in history's eyes has looked like. I've talked with folks with disabilities. I've talked to working moms and full-time employed students, and the difficulties that they face and the reality that they are trying to access an education to better their life, but to better their families' lives. And so I think at the root of it, to make sure that I am always and consistently looking at it through the lens of students and their families, and whoever that might be. But making sure that it is, it's a learning process, and making sure that I am listening and actively listening and making sure that those lines of communication are open, I think it would be a challenge, but I think it's a challenge worth doing, and I would love to engage in that manner.
Thank you.
Vice Chair Madsen.
Is it my turn?
It's your turn.
As part of this process, no, you did it last time. Okay, as part of this process, I'm like, did I ask this question already? We're going to be voting on Friday. It's been a long day.
It has. Long week.
As part of this process, we'll be voting on Friday, who will be moving forward for the legislature to consider. So if we move you forward, the next steps would be for you to work with the legislature and your network to get your name out there to see if, you know, work towards election. Just wanted to lay that process out for you, and then also ask you if you're committed to that and you have resources lined up to help you with that effort.
Absolutely. It is something I'm well aware of. It's something that I enjoy doing. I started coming to the Capitol as a middle school student and navigating these spaces, so I feel comfortable that this is my house, just as much as it is Governor Tim Walz's house. So we all belong here, and making sure that I'm navigating those spaces, I would feel confident in doing that. Certainly to say there are things that I need to learn, and that's where I would really lean on my mentors that I've cultivated specifically over the last years. But then also those that I don't know, and reaching out and introducing myself and engaging in the wisdom and the expertise that exists already within these bodies of governance would be really critical. So yes, I am on board, I am committed, and I'm dedicated to doing it the right way and in the, you know, authentic way that is Sarah Kettering.
Additional questions? If not, we will turn it back to you for any closing comments you'd like to make.
Thank you. Again, it has been a privilege and an honor sitting here and taking questions from folks who are public servants themselves. I think back to the mission state of the university, which the three pillars of research and discovery, teaching and learning, and outreach and public service. And all those three things both motivate me in a way that I want to wake up and I want to do the work that is hard but is so necessary. And I think being a university student, both in my undergrad and my graduate, provides me a unique lens to know the value of the university institution, but also understanding where we can do better and where we can continue to serve more folks. So I want to leave a lasting imprint that it would be my humble honor to do this work, and knowing that it's not going to be easy, but it would certainly be worth doing. So thank you all for your time and your review of my application, and I would love to serve the university, the community, and the state.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time and interest.